the teacher, I'll never forget him, we called him Pop Sawyer. I got through teaching the lesson. He didn't know much more about it than I did. And then he turned to me and said, Pastor, don't you have something you'd like to add to this lesson? And I heard on the inside of me, now this unfolded in a moment, but this is the way it happened. Why don't you stand and tell this group of men how desperately you need and desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I thought back, Lord, these men are members of this church. They love me. And if they ever discover how inadequate I am, they'll lose their respect for me. And I'll not have a ministry. And the question came back, do you want a ministry or do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Boy, it was a moment of decision for me. And I'm so glad that before I thought I came, you know, I gripped that lectern. And I began to talk to these men about this hunger and desire in my heart. And while I was discussing and confessing my need and desire to be filled, the Lord began to baptize me. I had never been with anyone at the time they were baptized. I had no precedent established in my mind. I was so grateful for that I was just free for the Lord to do it any way he wanted to do. And for me, it was wave on wave on wave of holy love and joy. I never knew there was so much love in the universe. I didn't want to impress anybody with my sermon. I wanted to hug everybody's neck. Oh, it was just powerful. And you know, that afternoon, I went to the study to pray. And up to this time, my prayers had been meditation and silence mostly, listening. This time, deep from within, but just rivers of praise. Now, I want to tell you something. I really believe that tongues can often be in English as well as any other language. I don't think the Holy Spirit is prejudiced toward English. You know, I don't think he's limited to it. But that afternoon, I'm sure it was as much inspired praying as I've ever done. But it was all in English. Now, if I had known anything about it, if there'd been a Pentecostal with me, it would have turned to tongues. Because I'd have to done it to satisfy him. But since I didn't know any better, it came out as English in praise and thanksgiving. And I spent the whole afternoon in prayer and thought it was about an hour. Well, I'll not describe the other experiences. Tongues did come and still come. And other gifts too. But it vocalized or crystallized about 3 weeks later as I was sitting with a friend of mine in the parsonage. And we were sharing together. And he and I just sitting there. And without any kind of precognition or warning or anything, it was as if in the deepest level of my consciousness, very quietly, very unemotionally, it just opened up. And in the deepest level, there was Jesus, the resurrected Lord, on the inside of me. And I knew him. I can't tell you what that meant and means. And when I knew him, I knew he was God. I knew he'd been with me all my life. He'd been the one up and down those little eastern rural roads in Carolina. Caused my heart to leap up and dreams to well up and make me want to be more than I was. He'd been the one who'd been directing my way and closing doors and opening doors, and I never knew who he was. He'd been the one who'd make my heart burn within me and cause me to want to do something to help others, and I didn't know it. But when I met Jesus, I realized he'd been with me all the while, and now he was on the inside of me. And I fell in love with him. And from that moment to this, life for me is learning to live in a love union with Jesus. I didn't become bishop. Now, I'm going to take you into one more story and then close. I've just got a minute. You see, and that's how the church did reject me. Now, a lot of it was because of zeal. I thought at the time it was because of righteousness. But you learn a lot in retrospect. I didn't know how to witness. I didn't know how to minister at this level. And I don't know why the Lord gives us things we, you know, don't quite know how to handle. And this is why I love to see it happen in small groups where we can, you know, really help and instruct one another. And if I'd had a small group, you know, I could have had a much more helpful ministry. But and I do now. But anyway, the church was beginning to react. And I left the church in the middle of the conference chair. They didn't run me off. I realized they were reacting and we might have had a split. And so I resigned in the middle of the conference chair to keep from having a split. And if any of you are Methodists, you know that to leave a church in the middle of the conference chair is a scandal, regardless of what reason it's done for. And I became the off-scouring of the conference. I became a tongue-talking, oil-toting fanatic. That's what they call them back home. I anointed with oil. So I was a tongue-talking, oil-toting fanatic. You know, me, I'm a Duke boy. You know, I play golf even. You know, I love folks. And here they were rejecting me. And boy, I went through all these negative emotions of resentment, anger. I call it righteous indignation. That's a preacher's word for temper. But I learned more in 6 months than I would have learned in 60 years. Oh, how the Lord knows how to put us in the testing ground. And so I had no salary. And another big fear I'd had that's still with me a little bit is in this money business. I grew up with great poverty. If you ever meet a Tyson with money, he's another crowd. So I grew up with a lot of fear along that line. Even after I became a pastor, I never had the courage to tell the official board, you know, how much I thought I should have. But while they were discussing finances, I was sitting off in the corner, hoping they'd realize what a jewel they had. And this was another area, a big argument. Me and I'm the best husband any wife ever had, as long as the bills are paid. But when a bill comes in and I don't have money enough to pay it, it's amazing how extravagant Francis gets. You know, all of that had been bugging me. And so here the Lord put me in a position where I had no salary, no job, no nothing. We rented a little duplex apartment. We had 2 children. Paying monthly car payments. And I said, Lord, it doesn't matter. I'll be a layman. Just help me get a job somewhere where I can witness for you, Lord. You know, all this self-pity deal. And I heard him whisper in my heart, you stay here where I have you. I'll overcome any barrier to prove to you that I'm able to take care of your needs. And I'd get up in the morning and I'd say, Jesus, I'm your boy. I have nothing to do but what you tell me to do. Sometimes it would come, you know, from within. Stay here and study. I'd stay there and study and pray. Sometimes it'd go down to the jail. Sometimes walk up and down the street. Well, you know, how do you get paid for that? Money just came in. I'd get it through the mail. Francis and I had come in and found money on the table in the hall, not knowing where it came from. And every need began to be met. And I discovered a real key. I've heard Mary Welch say this, and the way Mary puts it is this. God assumes full responsibility to supply every need that you have, that it takes for you to do what he asks you to do. If you'll, Mary, I think I quoted you right on that. If you'll find what God wants you to do and give yourself to obey it, he'll supply everything it takes to do it. And so I began to live in this commitment to the Lord of seeking his kingdom first. And then the Lord began to meet my needs and then let me have 2 more wonderful pastorates and then call me into evangelism. And I still had this fear of money. And the evangelist, you know, doesn't get a salary. It's a good appointment. Just no salary, no parsonage, no pension, no retirement. You just have to trust the Lord. Isn't that terrible? Yeah. I was praying about it. Didn't want to do it. So I got to the Sermon on the Mount. And I read where Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. They have no seed to sow, nor barns in which to reap. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And all of that. And read on, you know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things you'll learn to do without. It doesn't say that. All these things will be added unto you. It made me so mad. I closed that book, you know. Did you ever have the Bible to make you mad? Have you read it lately? It's a disturbing book. I closed that book and I said, Lord, that doesn't make sense. You don't mean that. You can't live that way in a world like this. You know, I got through. You know, the Lord's never fussed back at me. He just waits till I get through. And so I got through fussing and I peeped at it, you know. And he hadn't changed a word. And I said, Lord, I'm going to come into this calling on the basis of your word. I don't believe it. I must confess that. But I'm going to do it anyhow. Just because you're telling me to do it. I'm never going to let a human being know my needs. And Lord, these Christians are not going to get a bunch of poor mouth begging out of me. If you're going to supply my needs, then I'm going to look to you. And if you don't supply my needs, it's going to be a testimony against you and not me. And I found this, when you walk straight, you can talk straight. That's why Agnes Sanford prays with power. You notice how she talks right straight to God. It's not a bunch of religious mess. She's talking straight because she's walking straight. It's on the line. I intend to do that. Hallelujah. And so I gave myself to the Lord and came into this ministry on those bases. And that's been 14 years ago. And I just have one stop question I'd like to ask you. Have any of you seen a robin as plump as me? Where are your fears? Where are your needs? Here stands the Lord of the universe saying, I want to enter in and identify with you in such a way that I can manifest myself not only to you and not only within you, but as you. I in you and thou in me, and by my spirit reproduce myself, mind, spirit, and body. Let's bow before him. It may be that there are those here this morning who need to really make a commitment of your life to the Lord. And you know that he's standing here and he's saying, I love you. And I want to come in and take over. And right where you are, in any and every area that you know where you need to commit, and you'd like to say, Lord Jesus, let this be an open door. I use my need as a means of giving myself to you. And I'm surrendering to you. Come in and take over. And I'm going to trust you to do it, Lord, by your Spirit. You're my Savior. You're my healer. You're my Lord. You're my life. You're the one who will redeem this life from destruction. Lord, I'm going to trust you now. And I want to confess my faith in you. And if you'd like to do that by standing right where you are, stand. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, thank you that this is a new day and that we can come offering ourselves afresh and anew in the power of your Spirit, knowing that you, by your mercy, take us as we are and by your power, make us what we ought to be. Glory to God. We submit ourselves for the operation of the Holy Spirit to learn of you in all things, in the deep hidden places, in those areas that have caused us anxiety, and those relationships that have been broken, we're willing for you to guide us step by step in manifesting your fulfillment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.